Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Putale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamanik Namani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavani Paschachade Jitari. So Om Ganad Timidanda Shaganan Janash Lakaya Chakshuru Meditam Yena Tosmaya Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we're going to continue our reading, which we're doing every evening. Everyone is invited to join us on the internet every evening or every afternoon at 5 o'clock. When we're going through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse by verse, purport by purport, and in this way understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the most merciful personality. Now, we were talking about this before, a little introduction for all of you before we start reading. And maybe someone can follow us on the screen if someone knows how to use the mic. Someone knows how to use the mouse there? We're not going to start right now, but anyway. So we're going to describe who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Actually, we had a very interesting discussion earlier today about connecting with Krishna. Because connecting with Krishna is very, very difficult. Did you know that? Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He's the Supreme male, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He has a very high standard to connect with Him. And that standard is listed in the Gita. What is that standard? You know, Sarva Dharma Parishaja, Mami Kam Sharanam Prasaham, Tvam Sarva Bhavai Pru, Moksha Shami Masu Jiha. It's an interesting discussion we had earlier about this. And which means one has to surrender. One has to surrender to Him. Now, that word surrender is really heavy. Actually, there's a lot of heavy words that Srila Prabhupada uses in his books. One of them is surrender. Another one is demon. Rascal. You know, so many different words like that. So, I really want to explain those words before we go further, and then I'll talk about Lord Chaitanya, and then I'll talk about Krishna and Radharani. So, actually, the word surrender doesn't mean that Krishna puts a gun to your head and He says, surrender to me or else you're going to hell. And I'm sure some of us have heard this before when encountering people of different religions, right? They say, do this or you're going to hell. And I've had people walk up to me many times as I've been dressed as a Hare Krishna devotee and told me that I was going to hell. So, probably it's true. But anyway, so in India, if you hear the sound of a tiki-tiki after you say something, it means it's true, right? And nowadays, everybody knows that in India? You hear a tick-tick. You know, the lizard. Everybody knows a lizard. Lizard, lizard. Chameleon. They go tick-tick. And everyone says it's true. But nowadays in India, if your mobile phone rings when you say something, it's considered to be true. So we hear this word surrender. Let's get back to the word surrender. And I want to really put it in our modern context, what Srila Prabhupada is indicating by surrender. It's not that Krishna is demanding something utilizing threats. Of course, there is a threat. If you don't surrender to Him, you go to hell. No, I'm sorry about that. No. If you don't surrender to Krishna, then you're put under the three modes of material nature. You don't necessarily go to hell. Don't worry about it. Although I've been told a number of times by people of different religions that I'm going to hell. And of course, my standard reply to them is, if I go to hell, that would be very nice because I'd be able to share Krishna consciousness very nicely with those people in hell. Because people in hell are suffering and they're aware of it. Whereas people in these middle planets, they're actually suffering sometimes and enjoying some other times, like on a roller coaster. And most of the times they're in denial about it, so it's harder to share Krishna consciousness with them. So, in any case, Krishna presents to Arjuna the different alternatives to either following his advice or not following his advice. And at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you can do whatever you want. He doesn't employ guilt trips either. He doesn't say to Arjuna that, I am your friend, how can you do this to me? This is, I think you all know what guilt trip is. Like a mother says to her children, my dear daughter or son, how could you not become a doctor? After all I've done for you, I've carried you for so many years in my womb, I fed you and I slaved away for you. That's called a guilt trip. So Krishna does not employ guilt trips. He doesn't say to Arjuna that, my dear Arjuna, after all this time I've been your buddy, and how can you disobey my instructions now? You're causing me pain. I'm probably going to get a heart attack. Krishna does not say that to Arjuna. So there's no guilt trips. There's no threat. Krishna simply presents the philosophy to Arjuna. And he leaves it up to Arjuna to choose. So when Krishna uses the word surrender, it's very similar to the word shraddha. Shraddha, pronounce it properly. Which means having faith. And let me turn this off, of course. I don't like noise. Sorry if you're all going to boil to death. But that's life in the material world. So, what does this word shraddha mean? It's composed of two different syllables, shra and da. So, shra comes from shra, which means the heart. Da means what? To place or to give. So it basically means, the word for faith in Sanskrit means to give the heart. So this is what Krishna means by surrender, or in English, of course, Krishna doesn't use English. Sarvadam prichaja. Samame kam shavanam praja. Krishna doesn't actually use the word surrender there. He says, Sarvadharmam prichaja, give up all your other concepts, Krishna says to Arjuna. Vame kam sharanam praja, just go to me or come to me. This is interesting. Mam ekam, only me. Sharanam, and that's very similar to shraddha. Just give yourself to me. Sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarvapapayebhyo mokshayishyami masujah. In this way, I will free you from any sort of transgressions you may perform while you're serving me. Because sometimes when we're serving Krishna, we do certain things that ordinarily we shouldn't do. Like Krishna's asking Arjuna to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. So ordinarily, we don't fight and kill people, right? It's not a good idea, except you're in America. So ordinarily, we don't do these things. But if you're asked to do something by the Supreme Authority, then what ordinarily would actually be considered, let's say, sinful or karmically not such a good idea, at that particular point, is no longer considered sinful or under the law of karma. So, anyway, Mamali Kamsharam Braja. Aham Tvam Sarvapapayebhyo Mokshayishyami Masucha. Don't worry. So the word surrender, in this particular context, means basically, just trust me. Give your heart to me. Love me. I'll take care of everything. It's like a good father who is ready to take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything. And of course, the principles of surrender are listed by Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also by the great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The principles of surrender are actually to accept everything favorable, in relationship to Krishna, reject everything unfavorable, to understand that Krishna is always protecting one, to understand that Krishna is always maintaining one, to have no separate interests other than the interests of the Lord, and to always be, this is the hardest one for me, to always be meek and humble. So these are the principles of what we call surrender. So surrender is not such a heavy thing if you understand what Prabhupada and what Krishna mean by the word surrender. It's not like a gun pointed at your head or a guilt trip, as I said before. And then the word demon, that's another word I need to explain, because it's a really heavy word. And usually people hear the word demon, it means someone who has horns on his head, a tail, a forked tail, and he goes around torturing people with a pitchfork, right? That's what a demon is. So let's try to understand what Prabhupada means as demon, by the word demon. It's really just someone who doesn't accept God's order and doesn't accept the personality of God as the topmost realization. That's it. It doesn't mean someone who's not a gentleman. I mean, many people who are demons in that particular context shake your hand, are kind to people, help old ladies cross streets and do things like that. So don't let this word bother you so much, because Prabhupada uses it quite a bit. But the way Prabhupada uses it is not to say that someone's not a gentleman. It's to say that someone actually is against the supremacy of God and also doesn't follow the direction of the Supreme Personality of God. So that's really important. Anyway, so getting back to the point of Krishna. Krishna has a very high standard to achieve spiritual life, and his standard is one has to surrender. As I mentioned in the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharma Purichashavami Kam Sharanam Braja. And that's very heavy. So I was talking to one devotee today, and the question was raised, isn't it very difficult to connect with Krishna? And I said, sure is, because Krishna has a very, very high standard. And then I mentioned, but guess what? To connect with Krishna in the Maha Mantra, we have the feminine aspect of the Absolute Truth first. And that is who? Does anyone know who that is? Srimati Radharani. So when we chant Hare Krishna, it's not Hari Krishna. We're not members of the Hari Krishna movement. We're members of the Hare Krishna movement. You understand? Hare. And that's vocative, as I was explaining earlier today, for Hara. It's actually the vocative form of O energy of the Lord, O Srimati Radharani. Vakita means you're crying out. We were explaining earlier today that we don't really have that form in English of crying out. Vakita form. You know. So we have to use other words to explain the same thing. Like, for example, oh Krishna, oh Radharani, oh Govinda, oh Mommy. Or we have to use the tone of voice. Govinda! But we don't have a specific form in English to explain that. So we're crying out for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, right? Oh, Radha! Oh, most merciful person, please engage us in serving the Supreme Personality of God. So we're asking for connection, service, when we chant the Maha Mantra. You know, people often ask, you know, what should I think of when I'm chanting? People ask, should I think of myself as a gopi, kissing Krishna? I said, no, not right now. Should I think of myself as a cowboy? No. Should I be praying for a new car? Yeah, no. Of course, you know, was that? Sarvakama moksha kamadara dita vrena bhakti yogeni shet purusham param. Krishna, it does say in the Bhagavatam that even if one has material desires, one should pray to Krishna for them. But really, while you're chanting, we can be praying for the mercy of Radha and Krishna. You're crying. It's actually, chanting means crying. If you're not crying while you're chanting, you do something wrong. If you're not feeling your hair stand on end, if you still have hair, if you're not feeling tears coming from your eyes like torrents of rain, then the Bhagavatam describes your heart is certainly what? Steel framed. So you're doing something wrong, so it's crying out. It's not that necessarily you have to vocalize that crying out. It's not that you, while everyone else is trying to hear their japa in the morning, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! But the mood has to be there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkuram Patita Mam Vishame Bhavambudo Kripaya Tava Padpanka Ja Stita Duli Sadrasam Pachintya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, O Srimati Radharani, please, I'm suffering, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have fallen. Of course, servant is another heavy word. That just means that one is giving out of love. Being Krishna's eternal servant doesn't mean slavery. It means that we're just doing something out of love, which is the most pleasant experience. So, I'm your eternal servant, yet somehow or other I've fallen down into this horrible ocean of birth and death, and please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So this is crying out. So that's the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to cry out for Radharani's mercy. And even the Rama that we have in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which can be understood as Lord Ram, Balaram, Lord Nityananda, but also Radharama, the Acharyas describe. So there's Radharani connected with that name too. I mean, it's Radharani connected with all the names. So, therefore, we need Radharani's mercy. Now, how do we get Radharani's mercy? Well, that's why we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita tonight, or this afternoon. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of course, there's a lot of information about Srimati Radharani in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the Chaitanya Charitamrita primarily deals with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, not Radharani. But he is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. And being in the mood of Radharani, he becomes more merciful, not than Radharani, but he becomes more merciful than he ordinarily is. And you can achieve his mercy quite easily by approaching him in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why before we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we chant what Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Lord Bhaktivinoda, praying for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. And that's why we're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now with that brief introduction, which wasn't so brief, we're going to read the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least part of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we'll be commenting on it as we read. Just give me 1 second, because I have to share the screen for the people who are watching online. And we are reading from text 47 of the 7th chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in this particular chapter, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to be going to the south of India, leaving Jagannath Puri and going to the south of India. So we're going to be reading some of the Bengali here. Bahu janmera punya phale painu tumara sangha hena sangha vidimora karile kabanga. And so the translation is, after many births due to some pious activity, I got your association. Now Providence is breaking this invaluable association. So The person speaking here is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is Brahaspati originally from the heavenly planets, and he appears in Jagannath Puri as a great sage, and a great sage who was adhering to the Mayavadi philosophy before, and who Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to the proper personal understanding of God. So what is the Mayavad philosophy? Mayavad philosophy is basically to see and to think that every aspect of variety that we have in this world, every aspect of personality, of individuality, is illusion. So it's actually illusion that you are you and I am me, and he is he and she is she, and we're in Hillsborough, and we're in a dome, and it's very warm in here. It's an illusion. It's all in your mind. It's all in your mind. It's all illusion. Actually, we're all one. Does everyone believe that? No? I do. No. We are not all one. We are all individual. Nitya nitya nam, chaitanas chaitanya nam, ego bal nam, yoga devati kama. And at no time do we all become one. And we are an illusion, though. We are an illusion thinking that we are permanently connected to this world. We are permanently connected to this body, to the things connected to this body. That's the illusion. But other than that, we are all eternally individual spirit souls who have a personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Mayavadis think that we're all one, ultimately. So they generally follow someone called Shripad Shankaracharya, who is actually... Anyway, he's an incarnation of Lord Shiva who came down to preach Mayavad philosophy. We spoke about him last week. In any case, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dissuaded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya from following this Mayavad philosophy, converted him into a first-class devotee of the Lord. And now Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is lamenting that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is leaving Jagannath Puri and he's missing his association. Shure viraja bhadayari putra marihyaya taha sahi tamara vicheda sahana nayayaha. If a thunderbolt falls on my head or if my son dies, I can tolerate it. But I cannot endure the unhappiness of separation from you. Swatantra shuratumi karibe samana dina kato rahadeki mara charanha. My dear Lord, you are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly you will depart. I know that. Still, I ask you to stay here for a few more days so that I can see your lotus feet. Tahara vinaye prabhura shitti lahai lamanaha rahila divasakato nakaila gamana. Upon hearing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relented. He stayed a few days longer and did not depart. Bhattacharya graha kari karena nimantrana grihe paka kari prabhu ke kara nabhojana. The Bhattacharya eagerly invited Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and fed him very nicely. Tanhara brahmani tanra nama shatira mata randi viksha tena tenho ascharya tanra kata. The Bhattacharya's wife, whose name was Sati Mata, the mother of Sati, did the cooking. The narrations of these pastimes are very wonderful. Ageta kahiva taha kariya vistara eva kahi prabhura dakshina yana yatra samachara. Later I shall tell about this in elaborate detail, but at present I wish to describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's southern Indian tour. Dina panchorahi prabhu bhattacharya stane kalibara lagyatna magila apane. After staying 5 days at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally asked his permission to depart for South India. Prabhura agrahe bhattacharya samataha ila prabhutan relana jagannatha mandira gila. After receiving Bhattacharya's permission, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath in the temple. He took the Bhattacharya with him. Darshana kari takora pasha adnama gila pujari prabhure mala prasada ani dila. Seeing Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also begged his permission. The priest then immediately delivered prasadam and a garland to Lord Chaitanya. Agna mala panaharshe namaskara kari anande dakshina deshe chale gora hari. Thus receiving Lord Jagannath's permission in the form of a garland, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances, and then in great jubilation, he prepared to depart for South India. Bhattacharya Sangayara Yata Nijakana Jagannatha Pradakshina Kari Kari Lagamana. Accompanied by his personal associates and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu circumambulated the altar of Jagannath. The Lord then departed on his South Indian tour. Samudra Tire Tire Alalanata Pate Sarvabhauma Kahilena Acharya Gopinathe. While the Lord was going along the path to Alalanatha, which was located on the seashore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave the following orders to Gopinathacharya. Chari Gopina Bahirvasa Rakiyachi Gare Taha Prasadanalana Asa Vipradvare. Bring the four sets of loincloths and outer garments I keep at home, and also keep some prasadam of Lord Jagannath. You may carry these things with the help of some brahmana. Tave sarvabhauma kai prabhu rachanan hai avasya palibe prabhu mora nivedane. While Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was departing, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted the following at his lotus feet. My Lord, I have one final request that I hope you will kindly fulfill. Ramananda Raya Ache Godavari Tire Adikari Hayena Teno Vijayanagara. In the town of Vijayanagara on the bank of the Godavari, there is a responsible government officer named Ramananda Roy. So the purport of the Amrita Prabaha Asha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that Vijayanagara is today known as Porbandar. There's another Porbandar in western India in the province of Gujarat. Suja Vishaye Jnane Upeshana Kadibe Amara Vachane Tandre Avasya Milibe. Please do not neglect him, thinking he belongs to a Shudra family, engaged in material activities. It is my request that you meet him without fail. So, Purport Prabhupada explains in the Varnashram, Dharma, the Shudra is in the fourth division in the social status. Paricharyatmakam karma shudra shapi suvavajam. That's from the Bhagavad Gita, 1844. Shudras are meant to engage in the service of the three higher classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. So, Sri Ramananda Roy belonged to the Karana class, which is the equivalent of a Kayasta class in Bengal. This class is regarded all over India as Shudra. It is said that the Bengali Kayastas were originally engaged as servants of Brahmanas who came from North India to Bengal. Later, the clerical class became the Kayastas in Bengal. Now there are many mixed classes known as Kayastas. Sometimes it is said in Bengal that those who cannot claim any particular class belong to the Kayasta class. Although these Kayastas or Karanas are considered Shudras, they are very intelligent and highly educated. Most of them are professionals such as lawyers and politicians. Thus in Bengal, the Kayastas are sometimes considered Kshatriyas. In Orissa, however, the Kayasta class, which includes the Karanas, is considered in the Shudra category. Srila Ramananda Roy belonged to this Karana class, therefore he is considered a Shudra. He was also the governor of South India under the regime of Maharaja Purudra of Orissa. In other words, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya informed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Ramananda Roy, although belonging to the Shudra class, was a highly responsible government officer. As a spiritual As far as spiritual advancement is concerned, materialists, politicians, and shooters are generally disqualified. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore requested that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not neglect Ramananda Roy, who was highly advanced spiritually, although he was born a shudra and a materialist. So let me comment on this before we go any further, because I think this is important for our class today. That generally there's a misunderstanding about the what people call the caste system, but actually is originally called the Varnashram system. That, first of all, the first misunderstanding is that one is assigned a particular category according to birth. And that is not borne out in the description that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Chaturvarnam Mayashrishtam, Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that one is known to be a member of a particular order according to his qualities and work, not according to his birth. Now that's the first point. The second point is that there's this misunderstanding that if someone is considered to be of what's considered to be a lower order, that person is either rejected from spiritual life, rejected from social dealings, or someone who is actually considered an outcast. So this word outcast is nowhere in the Vedic literatures, that someone is considered outcast or outside. I mean, someone may be outside of the Varnashram system, but nobody is rejected from spiritual life and nobody is rejected from society. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kena naya krishna tapa veta se guru hai, that anyone, regardless of what qualities and work he or she has, if they know the science of Krishna, they can actually be considered a guru or accepted as a guru. So this is a very unique understanding. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a social revolutionary. Social revolutionary means he's breaking down the barriers that people have erected in society. And the reason that people have erected in society those particular social barriers is to establish their own positions. Just like we described last week, how the brahmanas, they would erect their particular social barrier so that they could make more money for pecuniary purposes, so that they would have a monopoly on their particular brahminical activities. So, actually, there is no monopoly on spiritual activities, and there's no monopoly upon people who can be a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a social revolutionary, showed us that spiritual life is actually transcendental to whatever class or situation one is in the material sphere. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this with several different personalities. One, of course, is Ramananda Roy, who was mentioned here. Ramananda Roy was considered to be in the Shudra class, yet he was one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's most intimate associates. In fact, Ramananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of Vishakha Devi, who is Radharani's, one of Radharani's two most intimate associates. And then, of course, you have the example of Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu posted him as the main teacher, the main acharya of the holy names. So dina hina yata chilo harinamu durilo. So Krishna consciousness is open to everyone, and anyone can become a guru if they actually know the science of Krishna consciousness and are acquainted with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So this is a very, very, very important point. However, it's not that there is no that it's not that there is no discrimination between people, but not discrimination on the body, not discrimination on the gender, not discrimination on the nationality, not discrimination on the race, not discrimination based upon age, but the discrimination is based upon qualities, spiritual qualities. And here, Prabhupada is going to talk about them in the following portion of the purport. A Vishayi is one who is attached to family life and is interested only in wife, children, and worldly sense gratification. The senses can be engaged either in worldly enjoyment or in the service of the Lord. Those who are not engaged in the service of the Lord and are interested only in material sense gratification are called Vishayi. Srila Brahmananda Roy was engaged in government service and he belonged to the Karana class. He was certainly not a sannyasi in saffron cloth, yet he was in the transcendental position of a Paramahamsa householder. Before becoming Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered Ramananda Roy to be an ordinary Vishayi because he was a householder engaged in government service. However, when the Bhattacharya was actually enlightened in Vaishnava philosophy, he could understand the exalted transcendental position of Srila Ramananda Roy. Therefore, he referred to him as Adhikari. An Adhikari is one who knows the transcendental science of Krishna and is engaged in his service. Therefore, all Grahastha devotees are designated as Dasa Adhikari. Another very important point, that it doesn't matter if one is, as Lord Chaitanya said, Kipavirpa Kipanyasi Shudra Kinanai, whether one is a householder, whether one is brahmachari, one is a sannyasi. The main thing is that one knows the science of Krishna. And if someone doesn't know the science of Krishna, then that person is not accepted as a spiritual preceptor. Another point is, if one wants to understand the science of Krishna, the methodology is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Rahuganaita tapasana yati, the chesya nirvat kanad agrahadva, the chandasa naiva jalada suryara, vinapada rajovi shekam. Then one cannot become Krishna conscious simply by taking a position in society. One cannot become Krishna conscious by becoming a good grahastha. One cannot become Krishna conscious by being a sannyasi. One cannot become Krishna conscious by executing austerities, putting yourself in fire in the middle of the summer, which we're doing right now, or ice in the middle of the winter, but only by taking shelter at the lotus feet of a great personality. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we all have that shelter. By taking shelter at Srila Prabhupada's feet, then any one of us can become qualified to be guru, instructor in Krishna consciousness. This is a great hope. And of course, this hope is called in the Nectar of Devotion, Ashabandha, hope against hope, that even though we may introspectively understand that we don't have any good spiritual qualities, but by the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, we can actually achieve the highest position of Krishna consciousness. So, on that happy note, we'll take questions. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Gopal.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi for so many years, and it says in his purport that he considered Srila Ramananda Roy as a gross materialist.
Yeah.
But when he was awakened to Krishna consciousness, he immediately understood Ramananda Roy's
exalted position.
So does that mean that somehow or other, when those of us who are still struggling to become Krishna conscious, when we reach a certain point, we'll be able to see more clearly others' good qualities in Krishna consciousness?
Well, it doesn't really mean that. It means that we get a lot of wind. It means that one who is a Mayavadi, that means one who thinks that everything is one, his standard of spiritual advancement is the external manifestation of renunciation. For example, a Mayavadi will consider someone who eats one pat of butter every 2 days to be very advanced. One who sleeps on the floor to be very advanced. One who's a sannyasi, he'll think, oh, he's much more advanced than someone who's married, right? He'll look at it externally, because the symptoms of a Mayavadi, or let's say that concept that a Mayavadi has of renunciation is one of external renunciation. And he won't understand especially when a Vaishnava is dancing and chanting. Can you imagine that? I mean, just like in certain religions, I'm not going to mention the religions, if they see people dancing and chanting, they'll kill you. They'll think they'll think you're an infidel. Are you an infidel? I'll tell you later. They'll think, certainly you're not religious. So the Mayavadis, whenever they see someone engaged in what externally might be considered material enjoyment, like dancing and chanting. I mean, it's not that all dancing and chanting is necessarily spiritual. I mean, before I came to the Krishna Conscious Movement, I did a lot of dancing and chanting that wasn't spiritual. You know, I danced the twist. Anyway, so it's not, but a Mayavadi will think that all dancing is Maya. All eating is Maya. All chanting is Maya. Everything except for studying Vedanta. And therefore, you have these Mayavadis who criticize Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prakasananda Saraswati, and a group in Benares who criticize Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they thought, you know, what are you? You're supposed to be a sannyasi and you're dancing and chanting with a bunch of low-class people. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw that Ramananda Roy was dancing and chanting, feeling ecstasy, reading Krishna's, reading the Bhagavatam, and also living a very opulent life. So it's not that a spiritualist has to lead a poverty-stricken life. A very advanced spiritualist, he may be extremely opulent. Or he may be poverty-stricken. We find examples of both in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities and pastimes and entourage. For example, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, let's take Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was so renounced that he was eating the rice that was rejected from the temple in Jagannath Puri, and even the cows wouldn't eat it. Oh my God. And he washed it off, put a little ewe salt, which is all right. So ewe salt, and that's what he was eating. That's real renunciation. So you think, wow, that's really spiritual. Really spiritual. And then you have other devotees like Ramananda Roy, who's living, you know, he was coming to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time in Vijayanagara on a palanquin. Everybody know what a palanquin is? That means you have at least four people, maybe more, carrying you into this covered platform. I mean, that's pretty opulent. Even I don't have a car like that. It doesn't go very fast. So, or you have the example of the spiritual master of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, whose name was Pundarik Vijayaniti. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami also made the same mistake when he first saw his spiritual master, before he realized it was his spiritual master. He saw Pundarik Vijayaniti was sitting on an opulent bedstead chewing pan. Whew. I don't chew pan, don't worry. Chewing pan, silk sheets, hair slicked back with some sort of oil on it, probably sandalwood oil. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami thought, this guy is a materialist. But when he saw Pundarik Vijayaniti exhibit symptoms of ecstasy, he understood his actual position. But the Mayavadis don't appreciate that, those symptoms of ecstasy. They think it's simply, what, sentimental. That if one is actually spiritual, one should be sitting there and be morose. Morosity is a symptom of advancement in spiritual life. I think I invented the word morosity. Is there such a word?
Morosity.
I know. I'm saying morosity. That's my new word for today. Because that sounds more sexy. So morosity, We're asked to do, yeah, I love that word. Like, is a symptom of advancement in spiritual life, the more serious and morose. And then you have Lord Chaitanya rolling on the ground, his associates rolling on the ground, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rolling on the ground, embracing each other, crying. And so, therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya criticized Ramananda Roy for his position and for his symptoms. And it's mentioned also that one should not try to understand what's happening in the mind of a pure devotee. Because there's things going on beyond our ability to understand. Like that. So that's the reason that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not appreciate Ramananda Roy. First of all, he was living opulently. And secondly, right? And so firstly, he was living opulently, and secondly, he was showing symptoms of ecstasy. And in order to show people that a Vaishnava can accept material opulence in Krishna service, our grand spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, rode in a Rolls Royce in India. Now, you may not know what a Rolls Royce is, but a Rolls Royce is probably the most opulent, maybe not. Nowadays it would be a Maserati. But he wrote in a Rolls Royce to Radha Kund to show people that real renunciation is called Yukta Vairagya, using something in Krishna's service to please Krishna. Not Falgu Vairagya, which means to artificially or falsely give up something to be utilized to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the reason Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was critical of Ramananda Roy. So anyone else have any questions? Quick questions, comments? Yes? Right. We approach her through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, which is the mood of Radharani. And yes, the worship of Radharani is very, very exalted, but it's required to approach Radharani to approach Krishna. I mean, to understand, yes, it's exalted, it's very high to understand the conjugal loving relationship between Radha and Krishna. Let's differentiate those two topics. One is to approach Krishna through Radharani, who is the most compassionate aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the other one is to understand Radharani's intimate relationship with Krishna. They're two different subject matters. So you're right about that. Radharani's relationship with Krishna is very exalted, and basically it is reserved for those who are on the highest platform of devotional service. However, Radharani's mercy for us is open for everyone. Therefore, in Vrindavan, everyone is chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe. And also sometimes Radhe, Radhe, Shami, Radhe. So, yes, differentiate those two aspects of approaching Radharani. Does that explain?
That's very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, we shouldn't jump to an understanding thinking I'm, let's say, one of Radharani's most intimate associates or gopi or something like that. But she is giving us access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we have her name first before Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Radhe, Radhe. And sometimes in Vrindavan, they chant the Maha Mantra in a different way. They go, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha. You ever heard that? I'm not saying we do that, but it's the same thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then, of course, before we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we chant the Panchatattva mantra, which is approaching Krishna in the mood of Radha Radha. Yeah?
So is
Vaishnava
that we are followers of
That's an interesting point you made in the beginning there. You said the only reason we're interested in Krishna is because Radharani is interested in Krishna. Actually, that's a very exalted platform. And that's not what every Gaudiya Vaishnava thinks. Different Gaudiya Vaishnavas are on different platforms in devotional service. Some are on Satyaras, some are on Vatsalyaras. Some are on Madhurya Ras and some are on Dasha Ras. You understand what I'm talking about. So, for some devotees, they're interested in Radharani because she's associated with Krishna. And for some devotees, they're interested in Krishna because he's associated with Radharani. I wouldn't generalize for every single devotee that's like that. So, it depends upon our relationship with Krishna and Radharani. It's a very exalted question.
Good question.
It's a good question. However, at the same time, we want Lord Nityananda's mercy. It's the whole progressive path to understand Radha and Krishna. This is described by the Goswamis in Vrindavan. That first, in order to become free of material entanglement, one approaches Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. He is Balaram, Hoile Natai, he is Balaram. And we find this particular philosophical point illustrated in the pastime of Raghunath Das Goswami, whose Panihati festival we're going to be celebrating next week. The Raghunath Das Goswami, before he could attain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had to approach Lord Nityananda and please Lord Nityananda. So our progressive path involves pleasing Lord Nityananda first. Then, by pleasing Lord Nityananda, one can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then come to the ecstatic platform. And then, by pleasing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can approach the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and understand the relationship between Radha and Krishna. So that's the progressive path that we've been given. Is that all right? Thank you for your question. I mean, very elevated question. Very elevated question. Who else has a question about any of these elevated subject matters? So we hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we hear his ecstatic pastimes. And he connects us with the understanding of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Some devotees, I mean, just to go a little further, some devotees are primarily attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and some devotees are primarily attracted to Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Those who are attracted to both, when they go back to the spiritual world, get to be with both aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who are primarily attracted to the Vrindavan pastimes are just situated there. Okay, on that happy note, we want to thank everybody very much for being so attentive. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. I think Aditya Narayan Prabhu has an announcement. And this involves next week's Panihati Festival, right? What?
We are discussing the membership here. I'm going to meet them by almost like 12 to 15.
So
we are thinking of doing
following week. Okay. So there will not be a Parihati festival next week. It'll be the following week after that, because many of our members are leaving the area and going to Vrindavan that particular week. So.
Hare Krishna, let's again thank the Lord Hare Krishna Goswami Maharaj. So as Maharaj just mentioned, initially we had announced our Parihati festival for next Sunday, but next Sunday that's the 20th.